talks about when he talks about Wednesday night. So we're going to try to conform to that, right? You know how we conform to the Word? We learn it. Can't conform to something you don't know. This is what's been spoken over the Wednesday night, and that's what we're going to walk into. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, or your times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. How do you like that last part? The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Now, I understand we use that word a little strange, fear of the Lord. But let's call respect. How about that? You treasure and respect the Lord. That is His treasure. Amen? Are y'all with me tonight? Or are you still floating around thinking about supper and whatever? Get with me quick. I've got a lot I want to talk about tonight. The Bible says that if any two or more are gathered in His name, what does it say? What's that? He's in the midst. He'd be here. That would be pretty exciting in itself, right? God is here. He wants to back up. He is wisdom and knowledge. He wants to be here to give that to us. He wants us to feel like smart and wise people. He's here to aid and assist. Amen? All right. I don't think we'll ever get out of I am that I am, but I want to start another direction tonight called covenant. I think I'll be... One of the things that I really enjoy is coming Sunday and have Pastor Doyle just... It's kind of like going to SeaWorld or something, you know. You kind of get all excited and pumped up, and I'm left with the job here's the rest of the story. Here's what's our responsibility. I don't mind that. That seems to be what God has laid on my heart. I want to, this will be part one of covenant. The title of the message is, or the umbrella for the message is fellowship. You know, I want to say something to you. Some of these new faces, you won't know what I'm talking about. But not too long ago when we came here, one of the things we found out is, y'all have about as much fellowship in this church as you do rain right now. You're in a drought. And from the head down, this has got to change. By order of God, not my opinion. I won't give you my opinion because that wouldn't be Word. I'm going to give you the Word, and then I don't want your opinion. I just want you to obey the Word. Amen? That would be wisdom, right? If you know the law and obey it, that's wisdom. We're looking for freedom. We're looking for... Pastor Doyle always talks about being guilt-free. Well, the best way to be guilt-free is to have nothing looming over your shoulder. Right? You didn't say, oh, I wish I would have, or I wish I hadn't have. You just don't do that anymore. Then you can walk free. All right. What do we... The covenant teaching is going to get pretty straight. One of the things we don't have in the whole United States is covenant with anything. And the church is kind of following that path. We want to get back. We want to take back our country. We want to take back God's Word and make it alive and real. Not as some kind of heavy hand thing hanging over us. But, see, covenant with God gives you the laws of God. The laws of God give you a formula for life and freedom. Man's laws oppress you. God's laws free you. From what? All of those things that death and destruction. It delivers you from that. I don't believe that there can be any true level of safety, of wisdom, success, or power until we operate in this fellowship, or if you want to subtitle it, communion, that God has commanded for us. I once heard the definition of fellowships as being two fellows in the same ship. And most ships are not so big that you don't have to get along. And before you spend much time together, you're going to get to know each other a little bit, right? One of the signs of not being saved and free is no fellowship. Because I don't want you to find out anything about me. Well, why don't you tell me that you're saved? That's the first thing I need to find out about you. Amen? And if you say that you're saved and I'm saying that I'm saved, then all I got to know is who you are. I don't need your history. And please, I'd rather not know it anyway. I might get discouraged with you. So let's don't talk about your history. Let's overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. If you got a testimony, give it to me. If you've got a scripture that sets you on fire, give it to me. Let's relate one to another the way we're supposed to and not talk about a neighbor. Amen? I'm going to give you the Strong's definition of fellowship. You've heard it before. It's koinonia. Y'all heard that before? Okay. The true definition is a partnership. It's participation. Our social intercourse. Social intercourse means I'm becoming familiar with you. I'm getting to know you. You're getting to know me. The only way that can happen is if I don't have anything to hide. Now, if I've got something to hide, I need to get away from you, take it to God, have some communion and fellowship with Him so that I can with you. Y'all can say amen anytime you think that's true. The second part of that is an associate. You actually had to form an association. Association, the root word being associate. In other words, I don't need to be introduced to you every Sunday morning. Why? Well, I found out some more about you during the week. And the more I find out, the more I like you. Or the more I don't like you. That's okay, too. There's more people to fellowship with. But I'm not going to not like you because of something you did in the past. You may like jalapenos and I don't, so forget that. And I don't. I don't like those either. To me, hot's not a flavor. Hell's hot. I saw something on television. I got to relate this morning. There's a black comedian that claims to be a Christian. By his language, I'm not sure, but it doesn't make a difference. He wrote a book. What's that? Steve Harvey, that's right. He wrote a book on marriage relationships. I don't know what qualifies him for that, but everything he said was correct. And he had a panel of 4 or 5 people there, and of course it was one of the morning shows, so their crew was over there. And he talked about what you should do and shouldn't do. They were asking him questions. And he was totally correct in a marriage. And one of the ladies from the program said about relationships, she said, but there's so much temptation out there. And Steve Harvey looked at her and said, well, that's why they make hell. Now, I don't know that they made hell, unless you're talking about the Trinity. But that's not what we want to talk about tonight. Hell, we want to talk about fellowship. So let me start. Everybody can see the cross up here, right? The one thing I want to point out about the cross is there's a vertical bar and a horizontal bar. Y'all see that? The vertical bar represents our fellowship and communion with God. The horizontal bar represents our fellowship and communion with each other. You take the one out, you do not have the cross. Did you hear what I said? If you take the horizontal flow, if you take the horizontal communion and fellowship away, you do not have the cross. You've taken all the guts out of it. Jesus didn't die so that we would honor a couple of pieces of wood. He died to establish relationship, communion, fellowship. Is that not right? Adam broke it. Jesus, the second Adam, restored it. That's how He did it. And that's the sign, the symbol that we operate under. You all agree? The other thing I want to tell you is if you don't have the horizontal relationship, fellowship, you don't have true vertical relationship. This is not that easy for me to say, because I told you that before. I'm working at that. I have worked at it all my life because I really don't feel like I need anybody. I didn't say it was right. That's my feelings. And I have wrong feelings. I feel like I see a pie and want to eat the whole thing. Full of my feelings. Not good for me. I need to tie the feelings outside with the horse. Okay. Pastor Doyle says that's good preaching. I want you to say amen, because that's the same thing as saying that's good preaching. I want to give you some scripture about the vertical fellowship, which has got to be tied to horizontal. In other words, one example exemplifies the other. John 10:9. Yes. Connie, I always teach out of New King James. That's okay. If you can't change it, that's fine. I can't stand these and thous. We don't speak that. Okay. John 10:9-16. Jesus says, I am the door. Some of these are going to be familiar to you, but I want you to remember what we're teaching about, which is fellowship. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes, does not come, except to steal, to kill, and destroy. So now we've established the fact that there's another leader out there. There's somebody else out there trying to be the shepherd, the chief, the cheese. Part of it is in me. This flesh wants to be glorified. My job is to put it down. This flesh wants you to follow this flesh. I need to put it down and tell you don't ever do that. That's the part of me I've got to put down. There's only one door. Right? Okay. The way, the truth, and the life. Comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that they may have life. Now why did Jesus come? Life and more abundantly. So now we establish the fact that the vertical relationship we're talking about, it is there to give you life and that more abundantly. And I said it also has to mind, that's the reason we have the horizontal relationship. My fellowship with you needs to be for one purpose, to give us life and that more abundantly, or I'm not acting like Christ. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Oh, we have another establishment for the horizontal relationship. We're to give life. Now, I don't mean just, I'm to give my life as Jesus did. You need something? Well, you don't know how important and busy I am. No, let's keep it that way. Will you give me your life? Don't tell me how important you are, because that's not the way Jesus does it. I don't care how busy you are, because that's not what Jesus said. Jesus, when you come to Him, He doesn't say, hold off for a minute, I'll see you this time next Friday. That's not the way Jesus does it. So, we don't have that option either, right? Okay. Now, here's the rough one. We'll determine where we're a hireling, or we truly are like Christ. Verse 12, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. In other words, are you telling me that you've been affected by the swine flu? I got to go the other way. You die and I'm staying healthy. That's a hireling. One that's truly interested in the same fellowship with Jesus, or that's an important thing to him, will give you his life if necessary. Amen. Why are we teaching about this? Let's remember why we're teaching. Because we want signs and wonders here. We want the life flow of God in this place. And the only way I know how to get it is to obey His Word. All right. Verse 13. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. If somebody doesn't care, don't spend your time trying to change them. Introduce them to Jesus. He'll change them. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. Now, how did we say we get to know somebody? You want to know me? How do you get to know me? You got to spend time with me. So we've got the relationships, vertical and horizontal, established. My sheep are known by me because we got intimate with each other. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. 2 Corinthians 13:14. I've got a lot of scripture, so I've got to keep moving. If you have a question, you raise your hand. Hopefully I'll see it. Are we there? Yeah. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, now this is a sign-off, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now what was that man saying that we need in our lives? This is what I pray for you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, vertical fellowship reveals grace so that we can present it in horizontal fellowship. So grace be with you. And the love of God, we find that out in the vertical relationship. And the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, in this one, we find out communion of the Holy Spirit goes vertical and horizontal. The best person, when you and I get together, the person that you need to see is the Holy Spirit. Even if I'm the one that shows up. But how's that going to be if I haven't spent this way time? If I haven't spent time vertically, you're just going to get me. I haven't even learned how to fellowship. We learn how to fellowship with relationship with God. But I'll never reveal God without horizontal relationship. That's between me and you. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, what are we called into? Fellowship with His Son. Oh, I thought I was called to be saved. No. Oh, I thought I was called to preach. No. Well, I thought I was called to the children's ministry. No. No. Because you're not worthy of any of that. You're not, I don't say worthy. You're not capable of any of that until you know that you were called. Your purpose for being in this earth is fellowship with Jesus Christ. And the minute we learn that, we've learned we've got to give it also. Amen? I'm going to say it again. We're talking about the strength of this body. Sunday morning when people show up and they line up on the front seat and side seats and fall and they need healing and we see miracles done, we are going to know why. Because we have vertical fellowship and you and I met here, there, and ever and had communion, fellowship with each other. We eat together. We pray together. We talk together. And I don't have to guess what you're up to and you don't have to guess what I'm up to. Because I'm up to fellowship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's talk about the horizontal fellowship, or let the Scripture do it. This is the evidence of the vertical fellowship. I can come over to your house for a free meal. Or you can come to mine for a free meal. Or you can see what comes out of me because I've been fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. That's the two kinds. Believe me, the second is better. Because I need you out of house and home. You don't want that. You'd rather me show up and give, which is communion. The true the definition of communion, truly, Paul explains it very clearly. You eat off of me, and I eat off of you, and in the meantime, we never forget Jesus. That's a true definition of communion. There in Corinthians, when he chewed those people out, said, don't show up here for a meal. If you're hungry, you eat at home. Do you know he did that? He said, from this point forward, we're going to eat off each other. And the whole time, we're going to be thinking about Jesus Christ. We're going to be thanking Him for the ability to empower the church through our fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Well, my Bible says He calls everybody. So that's His will. Verse 40. And with many other words, He testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So we're saved from something. It means we're saved to something also. Verse 41. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now, did you hear how many were added to the church on that one day? Why? And they continued, look at here. It didn't say they started. It said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. You want the church to be added to? Fellowship. I don't care how dirty your house is, and I don't care how busy you are. If you're not curious enough to find out what I am and who I am, then you don't have Christ in you. You didn't like that one. Boy, it got quiet then. Let me tell you something. You're going to find out who you are. You're going to find out what Christ is, who Christ is, when you fellowship with Him. And there's not going to be any hidden things. If you got a sore spot, He's going to touch it. Was that what you mean in fellowship? Even between? Yes. Yeah. Are you planning for that? No. No, I'm just telling you, we invited the Holy Spirit, and His job is truth and setting free. And sometimes He's going to use you, and sometimes He's going to use somebody on you to deal with what? Those things that you have not yet thrown off. Come on, I hope y'all are staying with me. This is an exciting thing I'm talking to you about. It's not a scary thing. I don't know where in the world we got the idea that it's scary to let somebody know us. I didn't say I liked it. I just said I know it's God's Word, and I have to obey. If I want power in my life, if I want wisdom, I got to open up. Why? What's good for me and it's good for them. Hey, if you can't get past it's good for you, then you just be a blessing to somebody else by showing up and fellowshipping. And see if you don't get some help. Well, I'm the only one that prays and all the Word comes out of me. Good, you're getting help. Good. Go for it. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Look at this. In the breaking of bread and in prayers. It's not enough to just get together and pray. You got to break bread. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. It gives time for you to make a boob out of yourself and maybe to make a boob in front of you. To say some dumb things and act some dumb ways. Maybe belch once in a while when you shouldn't. Do you understand? It's people getting to know people. My dad would say, warts and all. Come on. Do you know if we're a bunch of perfect people and we're so exalted we can't fellowship, nobody's going to want anything to do with us. Because if nothing else, we're making them feel like peanuts. What's the next one? Okay. Listen to this. They broke bread. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And look what happened. Then fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and many signs were done through the apostles. It isn't enough to proclaim we're going to be miracle workers. We've got to start with fellowship. What does that cause? One accord. One accord. Well, I thought you were thinking one way and I found out you're thinking another. All right, we're getting on the same page, right? I thought you believed this and I found out you believed that. All right, we're getting on the same page. One accord is more important than your prayer. Verse 44, now all who believed were together. Well, I'll be. All who believed were together and had all things in common. Well, how did they know they had all things in common? Well, they've been talking with each other. They figured it out. You know what they really figured out? That they weren't at odds. They weren't in disagreement. And they found out that I really didn't come here to get what you had and you didn't fellowship with me so you could buy my lunch. Which is okay too. And sold their possessions and goods. And now this is the scary part. Right? I just gasp of wind. So just listen. I don't want to sell my possessions and goods. I don't want to have any. If I'm giving them to God, which is the true vertical relationship, I don't have any. But listen what it says. And divided them among all as anyone has need. It's enough. You know what? Just, I don't mean to be rude, but this just irritates the fire out of me. That we adopt a soap opera attitude where everybody loves everybody. While they're stabbing them in the back. The word I love you has gotten to be nothing. You know what's something? If I love you, I'm going to show it. How do I do that? I find out your groceries are not there. I bring you groceries. And I don't need to tell you that I did it. Keep them guessing. Verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord. What's accord? Sonia, what's accord? Three notes, then agree. Isn't that right? God knew about music. He knew what that would work. It's not just any chords. I mean, any notes. It's three notes that agree. They sound good. They work well. They inspire people. They excite people. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. All right, now we have two things that are required in a horizontal relationship. One, we are going to fellowship in the temple. And two, we're going to break bread house to house. Well, you don't know how bad a cook I am. I'll bring. We'll order chicken. I won't take any risk. If you're telling me you're a bad cook, I won't take a risk. I won't keep talking to you. I don't want to make a trip out back. Let's just get over all that junk. My wife has always said, don't invite them. My house, we'll get your house cleaned up. No, never mind. Breaking bread from house to house, and they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Nothing up their sleeves, we would say. I didn't come and I don't want poop and I don't want gossip. I don't want dirty laundry. If you feel like you need to share something with me, share. But you can trust me, I won't take it out here. We'll get it settled right here, right now, and we'll drop it. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. You want to have favor with all the people? Get friendly. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That means out of their actions, their fellowship, their communion, people are being saved. By the way, always remember this. The best retirement plan in the world is heaven. It isn't a savings account. We need to invest in what God thinks is important if we want to prosper and be in health. A selfish use of our time, a guarded use of our gifting and calling, shows a shallow, unproductive relationship with Jesus Christ. Did I need to say that again, or was that harsh enough? I'm out of the abundance of my heart, my actions are going to speak. And if I'm open before God and I'm just excited to hear what He has to say to me and what I say to Him, and that I can go to Him anytime and knock on His door and He's friendly, now I've got an example of what horizontal relationship needs to be. When we are truly forgiven, when we are truly free with our fellowship. We have nothing to hide, and we help others be free. But Stan, you are worthy because God says you are worthy. You are able because God says you're able. You are forgiven because God says so, and you are free because God says so. He's waiting for you to agree with Him. And the minute you are saved, delivered, and free, you are not ashamed. Come on over. You don't like my furniture? Buy me some more. Otherwise, sit on that old ratty stuff. You don't like my groceries? You bring supper next time, but let's keep trying at this till we get it right. We were invited over to a couple's house one time in Denver. And we walked in the house, and the lady met us and said, "Hi, glad you're here. Hope you like what I got to serve. I cleaned out the refrigerator." Not a good buildup. It wasn't a good picture. I guess because my refrigerator gets pretty rank once in a while. She just said, "I cleaned everything out I had and put it on the table. Oh, Lord, sanctify this food. Don't bless it. Sanctify it." A lasting freedom and strength will be established through fellowship, communion, and eating together. I promise you, God's demand of us is eat together. It's part of the fellowship. I don't care if it's just a little peanut butter sandwich. What difference does it make? What happens when we fellowship together? We become yoked. We become that cord that's woven, that's strong, hard to break. When we don't have communion, when we don't have fellowship, every little wind of doctrine ends up coming in, every little insult. "I didn't like the way he did this, and I didn't like the way she did that, and I'm going to leave this place. I ain't never coming back." Well, you're just diseased, and you're taking it somewhere else. And that's evil. Yeah, I knew, if I knew I had a disease and took it somewhere else, then I'm responsible for murder. I need to get my act cleaned up. I need to get my head leveled so much, so confident, that even if I think I'm a screw-up, I can visit with you and not be ashamed because I know the Holy Spirit's there. I'm not afraid of visiting with you. You might be afraid of me, but I'm not afraid of you. You need to get over it. Let's get together. You guys fellowshiped with us when we first came here. Are we scary? We must be. Y'all quit doing it. No. No, we were always eating, and they went on a diet, and they wanted to lose some weight. That was the truth, and we never got insulted about that. See, it's good when you tell the whole story, isn't it? Are we to be yoked? Yes. Matthew 11, verse 28. Listen to this. Whoa. "Come to me." This is a command, a suggestion, invitation. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden." I mean, you're just weighted down with the world. "And I will give you rest." All right, now we have a vertical, right? We have a reason to fellowship vertically. Come to me. I'll take the load off. I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. Right? That's got to be something in there for horizontal, too. "Take my yoke upon you learn from me. So now we're learning on how to fellowship. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 30, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If we spend time with Jesus, the load is lifted. Freedom and peace comes. Now look, I show up at your house, what am I bringing? Can I help you with your load? I'll take it. If it's got you down, put it on me. Try to see if you can. Jesus dares us sometimes. Try to see if you can. Throw all your cares. If I can throw them at Him, you can throw them at me. That's true fellowship. Amen. Now, if I can't be trusted, you're probably not going to throw anything my way. So I need to be trusted, right? Fellowship is going to make you light, your way easy. Without it, our way is going to be hard and heavy. Maybe the reason that there are so many troubles that we run into is because we haven't been doing it right. Maybe it's not that we've been bad, we just haven't been good. I saw one person thinking about that one. Maybe if we were in communion, we were in fellowship, maybe the burden would be a lot lighter. Maybe our paths would be a lot easier. I'm not going to say maybe. I guarantee it will be. How can you guarantee? The Word guarantees. I just agree with it. 2 Corinthians 6:14. A major, major problem with Christians. You're to love everybody, but you're not to be yoked with everybody. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Shake their hand, tell them Jesus loves them, but don't meet them in the bar for fellowship. You know why they call it a bar? Because it is one. You know why you don't find good stuff in there? Because it's a bar. Some simple things we forget. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Listen, the enemy loves to tempt us. Some of the strangest ways. Now, guys, I love my wife enough to where there is no other woman. And if you try to tempt me there, you are wasting your time. I will probably insult you. Get it over with quick. The devil knows that, so he's not trying that. But he listens for how we say, how we act, and how we think. Well, he don't know what we think, but he's listening anyway. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I don't know what propagated this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I had a guy ask to meet me out in a restaurant. We met when we finished. I didn't know what we were meeting for, but I had a lot of business acquaintances, and he was one of them. And he said, get in the truck, I'm going to show you something. We drove out in the middle of a field, and he pulled out the nicest looking sheet of $100 bills I ever saw in my life. He just made them. And they were good looking. I had one or two on me. I pulled out. You couldn't tell the difference. Well, what's going on here? The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Do not think you're above the enemy coming. He said, would you help me pass these after he got the compliment that these were good? I said, no. Why not? I don't want to go to jail. Now, I could have told him I'm one of God's kids. I could have gotten real spiritual. And I just don't think this is right. And I couldn't think of a commandment at that moment that would have covered it. So, no, I don't want to go to jail. I could have said, no, I don't want to go to hell. I don't know if I'd have passed those, that'd have sent me to hell. Who wants to find out? I don't want to find out. I want to push my luck. This is God we're talking about. He said, do you know how to pass them? I said, sure I do. And I gave him about 4 or 5 different ways quickly. And he said, man, have you done this before? I said, no. I didn't say I was dumb. You know, the most dangerous thing in the world is when you realize you have the mind of Christ, you're smarter than the average criminal. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I can come up with a way to kill you and get away with it. Is that my call in life? No, my call in life is to give you life and that more abundantly. And I need to figure out how to do that and get caught. That's what I need to do. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Now, this is, you got to read carefully with me, okay? Oh, did I do something wrong? Okay. Now read along with me. That which was from the beginning, so now we have something that's from the beginning, which we heard. I want you to notice something. These are things that I found out, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning this church. You didn't know you were in the Bible, did you? Concerning the Word of Life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. In other words, the author of this was wordy. Here's what he was saying. I want to tell you something that I've seen and something that I've felt and something that God has revealed to me, which is what you do with communion. You got it in communion. You reveal it in communion. Wouldn't you rather hear from somebody that knew what they were talking about than somebody that was guessing? You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Testimony means I'm there. I saw it. I felt it. I tasted it. I witnessed it. All right, let's go on. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. What is our job? What we have seen and heard, we declare to you. Let me tell you what God's showing me. Let me tell you what God's revealing to me. Let me tell you what's happened in my life through fellowship. That you also may have fellowship with us. Woo-hoo! Now can I tell you what he's saying? He's saying, because of fellowship, this is what we've seen and heard. You want some of this? You want some of what I'm talking about? And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Come on, let's fellowship together as we fellowship with Jesus. And these things we write to you. Here's why I want to tell you about them. That your joy may be full. I'm full. I want to share some with you. So you can call me up and say, I'm full. Let me share something with you. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. But if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now everybody talks about sin. Baloney. If we don't do what God tells us to, we walk in darkness. So don't tell me you have your mates with Jesus if you don't have mates horizontally. Friends with Jesus and no friends this way. But if we walk, verse 7, in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Anything that's not that is darkness. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin in the fellowship. Do you understand that you are not totally cleansed yet? Without fellowship, you're not going on a daily basis and being cleansed. I hate to be rude, but to be cleansed, sometimes I get you dirty and sometimes you get me dirty. And we just keep washing each other with the Word. No fear. Because I understand by that Scripture, and that's a promise, that I get saved by fellowshipping. Oh, Stan, maybe what you said was right. Maybe we wouldn't have so many problems if we'd fellowship more. I think that's what that Scripture said. But if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. You know, and I don't need to talk about what happens here, so I'll talk about what happens somewhere else. A lady that goes to the church in Denver called me up this week. Now, that lady was, a few months ago, she was just on the bottom. And I've talked with her, and I've fellowshipped with her, and I've communed with her. The husband also. But she's the one that's really active in the church. She started getting excited. She started saying, God has told me that I need to do some fellowship, some prayer. And I need to get people involved in praying for other people. I said, that sounds like God. I think you're right. Good. You know what she wanted? She wanted agreement. Good. So she started. That's a long story short. Monday or Tuesday, she called me. And she talked to me. And this lady, by the way, this is so cool. Now that didn't go on tape, did it? What I'm trying to tell you is the qualification is low. It's being willing, and God will use you. She starts this. She calls and she says, things are getting stronger. People are coming into the church, new people. Okay, praise God. That's what we expected. She called me this week and she said, "You know Mark?" "Yeah, I know Mark." "Well, he died." Sounds like a praise report. She said he was laying on the couch and he threw up and he drowned in his own throw up. When they got to him, there was no pulse. They took him to the hospital. They kept him there for a couple of days, breathing for him, cleaning him up. And finally they said, "He is gone. There's no brain waves. There's no salvation. There's no help." She said, "Stan, I was crying out to God. I was praying that he be healed. I was praying that he be healed. She said, you've taught us that, so I was praying to be healed." And she said, "Right in the middle of one of my prayers, God said, if you will tell him, I will heal him if he will fight." It's a test of faith because the man is pronounced dead. This is a lesson for all of us. She said, "So I went up there and I told him, if you will fight, God will heal you." And I went home. Sunday morning, I'm getting ready to go to church and they call me. And it's Mark on the phone. And he's talking. And they're saying he's normal. There's nothing wrong. She said, "Now how do I pray?" I said, "Okay. If you don't pray, you praise now. You praise now." So that God will tell you some more about praying. But in the meantime, you have now found out, you are excited, you're encouraged that God hears and answers prayer, and He does raise people from the dead, but you're looking for physical death raised back to life. Now you need to go back to that church and you need to start telling people if you will fight, and they're alive and they're real and they're dead spiritually. You start telling them, if you will fight, God will heal you and raise you back. Amen? I mean, I want to see the dead raised, but I would rather see it spiritually than physically. Even though there'll be time that we demand it physically. But there are people that sit in these pews coming that they're dead when they come in. Something has hurt them. Something has killed them. And mostly it's no fellowship, no testimony, no word, no friends. And all they need is to somebody to catch them in the parking lot and tell them how good they are. To come and hear the preacher tell them that they're forgiven and they're free. And then somebody needs to go home with them and eat. Or say, "Come eat with me." How come y'all didn't amen that? Was that not as exciting? "Well, that cost me money." Yeah, God's money, not yours. Let's wash each other with word and testimony. If we want to do great things for God, we're going to do it through vertical and horizontal fellowship. It's not enough to get up in the morning and pray and read your Bible. Because all that does is build you up, which is a great thing. But this isn't all about you. In fact, very little of it is about you. This church is not about the person that built it. This church is, the preacher is not about the preacher. The people that get up here and play instruments, this is not about them. This is about people. And until I get a heart, I have to have this heart. It don't sound right, but it's the heart. I got something you need. And I'm going to come fellowship with you. And once we get that started, God can level the playing field and understand I'm getting help at the same time. Now that's the procedure, whether we like it or not. I have to have something, I have to feel like I have something to offer. And then once I get involved in fellowship and all this glory that you're going to get out of me, then I figure out that I'm getting healed and restored also. We're not going to have abundant signs and wonders until that strong cord is developed. This is going to come through fellowship, communion, eating, sharing. It's God's plan, and we're not going to bypass it for comfort. I'm not a mixer. I'm not a guy that can sit down and have a long conversation based on anything. Some people, my wife can do that. She can walk up to a stranger and just start a conversation. I'm going, "What in the world?" She's good at that. I just get behind her and let her start and I'll figure out something. Maybe I'm nothing else. I'll just stand there. Maybe I'll get something done. But I have to be willing. And a lot of times from that willing, you'll show up and you're uncomfortable and you're sweating and all of a sudden God will reveal something in you or something in them. Both for healing. both for restoration, both, either one for salvation. And that's what this is about. The worst thing in the world. Well, I'm going to tell you. I think I've mentioned this, but I'm going to say it again. Going to church one time, my son was little. My son was never little. He was young. And the radio was going on talking about these people that had been boycotting the abortion clinics. And they were on the news. And the news came across. And I wasn't all that involved. But my son leaned up from the back seat and he said, "Dad, why do those people boycott those things? Don't they know where those babies go?" Whoa. My son's smarter than them. "Don't they know where those babies go? What are you worried about? The babies dying. They're going to heaven." Whew. So now what do we need to be worried about? The people that are doing the murdering. And before I could even process that, God said, "I don't know what they're boycotting either. I own the biggest abortion clinic on the face of the earth." He said, "I save them and y'all kill them." A very, generally speaking, a very dangerous place for a newborn is the church. Y'all can say no you want to, but it is the truth. I've been in plenty of them to know. Somebody gets born again and gets on fire. The first thing that happens is we've got to clean them up and polish them before they can minister. Bologna sausage. Bologna. They got something to say. Fellowship with them. If you want to help them, let them make all those mistakes right on you. I knew a guy when he was born again, I wasn't too sure what in the world. He helped me a lot understanding salvation. He couldn't hardly speak a word without cussing because that's what he'd done for over 40 years. He was delivered from the cigarettes, but he carried them around his pocket, just daring one of those Christians to tell him he couldn't smoke them. So he was still rebellious. He wanted to fight. Nobody in that church talked down to him. He couldn't read. He'd show up at my store and he'd ask, open the Bible saying, Could you, I was reading this the other day, and I don't understand this. Could you explain it to me, Stan?" "Well, he's wanting me to read him the Bible." He learned to read by reading the Bible. You know how I met him? Not in church. I met him when he walked up to my counter. I was going through a divorce. He heard it from some place. He walked up and said, "For $500, I'll make that problem disappear." And I said, "Pardon me?" He said, "$500 and you will never see her again." Guys, that's cheap. That's cheap. Talk about temptation. There was enough of God in me that I said, "I think we'll find a better way." She was blessed and didn't even know it. Now, how much do I trust that person? Zero. Oh, really? He met the God that I know. Came to me and he said, "What happened?" This is after he went to the altar. "What do you mean?" He said, "I was standing in church. I didn't want to go to church. My wife was on my case. And I just wanted to shut up. And I was standing over there and the preacher was preaching on tithing. And the next thing I know, I'm down at the front. And I don't even know if I walked or flew. But I want you to tell me what happened. I feel different." Oh, I think I can trust him now. I found out how God can really change people. I saw it. Pastor Doyle talks about how bad he is. I bet you he never offered to kill somebody for $500. I bet you he didn't steal 8 cars a night to make a living. Flew in a helicopter to buy titles. His own helicopter. He said, "I never met a title that was broken. Bought a car in 3 pieces, but the title was in one. If y'all don't know what I'm talking about, praise God. Had more girlfriends than you can imagine." All of it changed when he got saved. If you ever have the privilege of meeting him, which you will, you can trust anything to him. You can lay $1 million cash right here on this thing, and it'll be safe as long as he's around. Why? The fellowship started illegally. It started with $500, and I'll make that thing disappear. But God had a plan. God had a plan. God has a plan. He's got a plan for you, and he's got a plan for somebody visiting with you. Why? Either you got something they need, or they got something you need, or both. And if you want this church to grow and you want it to be strong, you're going to first learn to be strong cord in agreement. And it comes through fellowship. And you don't care what somebody up the street says. And you don't care if they invite you over there. You don't care. Because you have fellowship right here. And it's all you can handle. Do you know how many hours a day you can fellowship? Not too many. So don't expect the people line up at your door and say, let's fellowship. You don't have that much time and they don't either. What are you saying, Stan? You got all you can handle right here. How do I know that? Because this is God's plan. You're here. Well, you don't know how good it looks over there. Tie it outside, guys. Don't be fooled with your eyes and your ears. You know how you know where you're at is right? Because you haven't heard another word from God. You know how I know that woman's the right woman for me? Because God hadn't told me any different. And she'll be the right one until God says loud and clear, possibly four times before I'll believe it. When He said, come here, He didn't say, come here until you're through. Because I don't know when I'm through. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The people that decide that I can come here for a little bit, and when I've already licked all the frosting off, I can go somewhere else. I'm sorry. Sorry. It's not the people God are really wanting. I want some tough people. John chapter 15, and we're through. Yeah. Here's the vertical horizontal quickly. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in love. What kind of love? Well, don't talk about it. Do it. God didn't tell you how much He loved you, and then you got saved. You got saved, and then He told you how much He loved you. 10. If you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love. If you fellowship, you will abide in My love. Just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that My joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. We make Jesus happy, and we're happy. Now I have something to give people. This is My commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13, let's get down to it. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Two things. You got to have friends, and you got to lay your life down. How do you get friends? Lay your life down. How do you keep friends? Lay your life down. And here's the other part. You are My friends if you do whatever I command you. Anybody want to be God's friends? Then let's get serious about being friends. And there was a loud amen on top of that. Did y'all hear that loud amen? Please. You can say what I've said in times past. I don't need any more friends. You can say that. It's not true. But you can say it. You can hide behind it. You can say, look, I just really don't like people that much. I say that. I have every right to. Look at what I'm looking at. You can say the same to me. I really don't like your looks. I don't like the way you talk. Let's work it out. Let's get to know each other so both of those feelings go away. Well, I'm a busy guy. You just don't know how busy I am. I know you'd be really busy about God's stuff if you were fellowshipping. Otherwise, you're not busy. You just think you're busy. Or maybe the reason you're just swamped with business is because you won't fellowship and the burden is heavy. 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 Y'all stand with me. The truth will set you free. I've spoken the truth to you tonight. You do what God has commanded tonight. And listen to me. You will see signs and wonders. You will see them. I'll get to knowing things about you. And then I'll know when you get healed from them. And we'll both be excited. Did you hear what I'm saying? The reason I can find out your problems is because then I get to be blessed when God takes care of them. You can find out about mine. You can be blessed when you see me blessed. But if I don't know you, I'll never get that blessing. If I don't know about that child or that friend or that loved one that's being taken away by the enemy, which is a whole lot higher percentage of loss, if you don't get into agreement, if you come and we talk about it and we get into agreement, one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000, the Scripture says. Fellowship has got a lot of good things about it. Has a few rough edges, but not that many. You might have to take a bath a little more often. I might have to shave a couple more times. Wow, what a sacrifice. What I want you to do tonight is make a commitment of communion. The things that have you've been doing about being isolated, stop. Get your feet dirty. Get your hands dirty. Talk to those people that aren't worthy of you. Fellowship with them. Eat with them. How long have we been at this church? I can't. That mean years? Or is there a rabbit back there? Okay. 2 years. You know how many times we've been invited out to go to lunch? One? Two? Any more than that? Now, there's been some repetition with one couple. I've asked several people several times and no response. Stan, are you trying to lay a guilt trip on me? Yeah. Yeah, I am. It's good for you. Please, let's bring it back to reality again. If you don't want me to know you, you've got a problem. I don't have it. There ain't nothing that you can say or do that will make me turn my back on one of God's. But we, people that play in your mind have known for years that half of a healing is to get somebody to confess something. Now the world has made money out of that. And they don't give you life in that more abundantly. If we do that with each other here, Jesus steps in and gives you life in that more abundantly. Take a risk. Invite me out to lunch and I'll show you how stupid I am. I'll show you about my wild belief systems. I may scare you a little bit, but then we're going to get serious. Then you're going to find out that Christ is in me. And after we get all through that personal stuff that don't matter, then I can look and say, you know what? God has showed me a couple things. You mind if I speak them? And if you say no, you kill the fellowship. And if you say yes, we're both saved. It's just that simple. Well, I don't like what you said. I probably didn't like it either. Now we're in agreement about something anyway. Make a commitment. Make a commitment to get to know somebody. And once you get to know them here, get them somewhere else and get to know them better. Well, I'm the only one doing this. Hey, then you'll be the only one blessed. That's fine. But let's open up the door and let God move. Let's fellowship in doctrine. And let's cause the signs and wonders to follow. Let's be blown away that this thing works. And the only way you'll know if it works is to try it. And there is no trying God. It's just the way it is. Let's honor the cross truly. Let's truly honor what Jesus did on the cross, which is open up the door. The veil was broken. It was torn in two. Why? So it wasn't just vertical. And I took the vertical relationship and turned it into horizontal. Amen? All hearts clear tonight? If you made a commitment, your heart's clear. If you didn't, it'll be clear until the first time you get a chance and you don't follow through. And then the Holy Spirit's going to say, what about that commitment? What about that thing you promised to do? I can't tell you how this excites me to tell you this. I'm excited about speaking of these things. I really am. Why? You want to be invited out? No. I really don't. I really don't want to go to one more dinner or one more lunch. But I'm excited to do it because I know what's coming. You know, when I woke up this morning, I wasn't excited to get out of bed. Then that bed was comfortable. I could have pulled that thing over my head and just been real happy. But that's not what God wants. He can't do anything with me in bed and my head covered. So I got to get up and expose myself to the elements so He can use me. So let's get naked. Let's get naked. Let's expose ourselves to each other and watch God move. And everybody said, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the listening ears and the attentive hearts. Thank you for your true people, your people that want to do what you want. Thank you for their opening up right now. We're opening up ourselves, not just to the crowd that's here, but we are so interested in that next person that enters that door. We want to know them. We want to live with them. We want to help them with their burdens. We get excited when they come in. We don't say fresh meat. We say, oh my God, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to me and to them. This is not about finances. This is about your glory, your honor. Take these words, sink them deep into our hearts, deep into our minds. Holy Spirit of the living God, remind us until we automatically feel like we're not doing something right if we're not pursuing fellowship. With all of our hearts, we trust you. We love you. We say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in this fellowship, and Thy kingdom will grow because of that. And everybody says, in Jesus' name, thank you for your time. You're dismissed.